All right, let's just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, we will try to wrap up this series today. We will try to put it on a pause. We plan to pick this up again days or weeks or months from now. So we'll just as much as possible try to wrap up this series for now. So, well, let's just progress. Go all the way with me to what book have we been using? I think that's Mark 16, yeah? Yeah, so we've been starting at Mark 16, and the reason for that is just so that we keep reminding ourselves of that instruction that should be an instruction to us every day. Okay, so if you would go with me to Mark 16 quickly, Mark 16, and go all the way to verse 15, Mark 16, 15. Now, so look at what Jesus says there. He says, submissively, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. So that's a very vital fact of the Christian faith. What do I really mean by that? I just really mean that Jesus gives an instruction, right? That we should go. Now, everyone is inclusive in that ye. Well, let me say that differently. The believer and every believer is included in the ye. So when it says going into all the world, you are going into all the world because or on account of the fact that you are a believer. Okay, so he said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Okay, he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now we've tried to look through this instruction to pay attention to God's instruction on the pages of the scriptures. That scripture that says that we should go into the world and make disciples. So what I'm going to do today, like I said, I'm going to just try tie the knots. We started looking at some of the things that are very important to the Christian faith. We said that Jesus gave that instruction to his disciples, and by extension, that involves every believer, that's a believer at every point T or time X on this earth. Okay, so he says, yeah, I'm going into all the world and preach the gospel. So it's an instruction that's given to every believer, everyone that is born again. We've seen through scriptures that it's God's will that all men are saved and come into the knowledge of his truth. Paul would say to Timothy that, you know, ensure that you keep in mind that you ought to do the work of an evangelist. We said an evangelist is someone who is a bringer of good tidings. Right, so for the Christian evangelist, is going to be one who is a bringer of the good tidings of the message of the resurrection of Jesus. So we need to understand that evangelism will require that, you know, one is spreading and preaching the message of the gospel. We now went through some of the, you know, interesting things we see in our world today. Apostles to the marketplace, apostles to the medical field, apostles to the IT world. I was speaking to someone recently, and, you know, I was just hearing the concept of, you know, being an apostle to the IT world or the IT space. You know, God has channeled you to be an apostle to the IT space. Well, for lack of better words to express that, if what you mean is that you have been put in the midst of IT people as a sphere that you can reach with the gospel for Jesus Christ, then that's okay. Yeah, but if what you mean is you are an apostle of the IT world, means that people that are working with you will now begin to see how your life is going in one direction and begin to think that, oh, they need to find out what is happening for you, that they need to change about their lives. Yes, yeah, so that's not the global thing. I mean, if you want to stay apostle to the IT apostle marketplace, you know, you must ensure that you must have the right context. It means that as you are in the marketplace or in the IT world, primarily or your mind should be, what should envelop your heart and your mind is the instruction to go into the world to preach the gospel. So that would be a world, an example of a world you can go into to preach the gospel, right? So it means your interactions and the relationships you will build will be, as you will be seen, as an avenue to what? To preach the gospel. We now said that some other people believe that there, or we grew up, I grew up believing that there are three categories of people in the local church, and there are three G's to represent each of the sects. So one of them means to grow the groaners, one of them G is the groaners, one of them is the goer, and the other one is the giver. So the goer or the giver is the one that goes into the office to make money, or goes into the world to make money, and you know, use that money to come and support the growers, and then the goers, so that when the growers are going out, they would have what money to buy water on their way, and when the growers are praying at the loudest of their voices, they are able to have water to step it down in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so you know, people have different ideologies, but we found out that as believers, we need to actually acknowledge the fact that we are all goers, we are growners, and we are givers. So I am a goer, I am a giver, I am a growner, right? So my heart must be fixed on these three things. I grow, that means I spend time in the place of prayer. That's what grown there, that's what it represents. There are those that pray, right? So I grow, I spend time in the place of prayer. I give, it means in my secular world, yeah, there's a dedicated amount, or there's a particular amount or percentage of my income I would dedicate to the cause of God, right? So anything around the cause of God, there's a certain decision percentage that must be dedicated towards that, you know, narrative. So it's very, very important to, you know, to note and to realize that. So you say that then you have the goers, who are really the people that Jesus sent. So you know, people say that in Mark 16:15 is not to every believer, so but I put it to you that actually every believer that's meant to go into the world, and whilst going you are growing, and whilst you're growing you're also going to the workplace so that you can have what to give to support the cause of the gospel. Because on the streets of the gospel, on the streets, you will find people who, you know, have not eaten in 10 days, in 3 days, in 2 days, people who have not, you know, yeah, you'll find all manners of things, yeah. Yeah, so that will include as well what you will give, how you will give, you understand, right? From a place of love, you know, right? Or even for the local church and the cause of the local church as well. So that's very important to note, right? So, you know, Sunday, as I talked about how people always give an excuse that they cannot preach. And I think one of you all would have asked questions, one of us really would have asked questions around, or asked the question around how do you mix the prayer and the discipline to go for evangelism? And that's me reframing the question, or remodeling the question, or rephrasing, that's the word, okay? Yeah, we said that every believer needs to take the initiative to preach the gospel. Whilst we pray for the help of the Holy Ghost, we have his help, we have his instruction, we just need to act according to it. It's very, very, very important. So we said as well that Mark 16:15 is a scripture that you need to remind yourself as much about every day. Now today I'm going to be concluding the follow-up conversation under the evangelism and narrative. So I'll conclude on that narrative, and I will be teaching what I was supposed to have taught as my first teaching in the follow-up series, okay? Right, how to do the practicality of the follow-up meetings, okay? How do you go about that? So I've given you the doctrines, what to teach. We'll get there just in a short bit, okay? And we're not going to go to the approach. Because the two wings of, so imagine the series we have is broken into two. There is evangelism and there's follow-up, right? The evangelism has a doctrinal part and has a practical part. Okay, the follow-up has a doctrinal part and has a practical part, and we have as much paid attention to the practical part of evangelism and the theological part of evangelism. Am I right? And then we've paid as much attention to the theological part of follow-up. That means the teachings we give our students or the people that we're discipling, or the meetings we have for people, or how we progress in conversations when we're talking with people who believe or who we are grooming in things of God and things of faith. Yeah, so it's something that we must also remember, that whilst there's a theory of it, there's also the practical part of it. So just like where I gave you typical examples of how to initiate conversations, how to start conversations, how to stop conversations, I'm going to do that as well for the practical part of the follow-up. So ideally, I'm going to compress it into this one teaching, and that's because so I want you to listen to it again and again, and actually again, just so that you can actually take notes and digest it and own it as much as possible, right? So we went through the scriptures to say how that Stephen will find a man, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 7, and in the real sense Philip rather, right? They expressed scripture to him. They also looked at Stephen in the book of Acts 7, how he was killed, and whilst he was being killed, the Bible says that Stephen was heralding the message of the gospel, and that's where Paul was consenting to his death. And we said from that narrative, we say that no matter how you find yourself, where you find yourself, you need to also remember that, always remember that you are expected to initiate conversations or to preach or to say the gospel. So we went through, you know, a lot of those scriptures, and we went through, there's something I said consistently for several meetings under this series, and I'll say it again, right? And it's actually around the fact that you ought to see yourself as one who God counts on. And I gave an example of Reverend Tom, who said, in one of the clips that went viral a couple months ago, and said that in the last 30 days of your life, how many people have stopped you? You see, think about it this way, right? From the first day I gave this narrative in the local church, that's probably when it started, this series in June, because I think my first teaching was in June. I started giving this example of how many people have preached to you in the last 30 days. Now that's June. We finished July, we're finishing August in the next 2-3 days, right? In 3 months, how many people have stopped you to preach the gospel to you? And also, you need to ask yourself that same question: how many people have you stopped to preach the gospel to? That's something you need to ponder on every day of your life, and just realize that, you know, it's something you need to act on. Okay. Said, if you're successful in every area of your life, excluding the major areas which God has called you to, that is primarily around that He's doing His will and His purpose, it's as good as you've done everything beautifully, but you've done nothing. Because the things you succeed at, your wife, your family, you have a car, you have a ship, you have a private jet, all of those things will not matter together on the day of reward, or the day of resurrection, or, you know, on the judgment seat, so to say. All those things will not matter at all here. What matters is, what did you do with the Spirit of God on the inside? What did you do for the kingdom? That's very, very important. So we went through how a man will be saved by hearing, how a man will hear by being preached, how a man will be a preacher, and you have to be sent, right? I said how scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, that is, you know, that herald the message of the resurrection. It's a beautiful thing to do, or to say, or to see. Okay, so we said that the preacher is one who needs to leave his comfort zone to ensure that, you know, he fulfills the will of God by preaching the gospel to all, or to everyone. Yeah, we said the word go as well as a present continuous tense, right? I hope you're taking notes, jotting notes as well. Like I said, you don't assume that you already know what I'm teaching, or you know what I'm saying, or you know what we are talking about today. Okay, so we said the word go is in the real sense the present continuous tense, right? So it means every and any time that scripture is being read, it is in an actively present continuous tense. What I mean is, if you read Mark 16:15 today, right, what that means is go to you. Yeah, you should act on it. If you read it tomorrow, what that means is go to you. Yeah, you should act on it. If you read it next year, what that means is what? Go. Yes, you should act on it. Right, it's something you must always remember, that it is your priority, and you must make it your priority. So we said, look at what evangelism is not. We said, you can say evangelism is not necessarily. Evangelism is not necessarily inviting people to your local church, or church programs, for special meetings. I mean, we're going to have a special meeting as well in a couple of weeks' time called Rekindle. Yes, it's a special meeting, definitely, as much as special meeting, but much more than that is actually the fact that it is something that will be beneficial to our lives, and we can also invite people. But that's not as much evangelism, even though it's part of the whole, right, part of the entire thing. Okay, so evangelism is not inviting people to church. However, that's very, very important to have people fellowship with you, particularly people who are not even associated with any church family or community. Very important, right? You have someone who says they're tired of church, just ask them to give your local church a try. It's a good thing and godly thing to do. I said evangelism is not sharing of tracts, right? Yes, we have tracts as a local church, right? So we give it to ourselves every time we go for evangelism. But, you know, we must understand that once you share tracts, you must be ready to herald and preach the message of the gospel. Also said evangelism is not posting church flyers or WhatsApp pages or Instagram pages. It's not as much that, right? However, it's a part of it. Now we're together. It's a part of it. There are people who, in the real sense, would have gotten in contact with us as a ministry just by someone randomly posting something around the local church. So it's something you should actually get yourself involved in, right? But however, you must understand that there's still the act of preaching the gospel to, you know, everyone. So evangelism is not a responsibility for specific people. Like we said earlier on, we don't have the goers. No, everyone is a goer, a giver, and everyone is a groaner, the one that gives himself or herself to prayer. Okay. So evangelism is not charity. And coffee. No, there's nothing wrong with sharing tea and coffee. All together, nothing wrong with sharing tea and coffee, but you must understand that tea and coffee is just the means to an end, and it's not the end, right? Don't give people tea and coffee and do not engage them with and in the gospel. Evangelism is not doing community service for the community, yeah, because it includes going to orphanage home. It's a beautiful thing, and as a local church in Nigeria, as a family, so to say, yeah, that's that consistency of us, you know, going out to reach out to the lost and, you know, or the orphanage and less privileged, and that's been the case for years, probably running into a decade now, you know, but that's not as much evangelism if we don't preach the message of the gospel to the saints, or to people rather. Evangelism is not playing gospel music on the street. So said, whilst there's the part of you using gospel music or a sound to attract people to a center point, you must understand that the goal for that is to engage with the gospel. Also, evangelism is not clothing people. When we clothe people and they don't believe the gospel or hear the gospel, and we've only clothed them without a life, without a supernatural life, right? So evangelism as well is not sharing your personal stories. Like I said, people usually will not forget the past if you tell them your story. Yeah, so it's not necessary. Yeah, you can preach the story of the resurrection. That is story enough, story of redemption, story of the exchange, right? So we said as well, evangelism is not my life preaching the message of the gospel. What that means is people who act like, oh, we don't need to preach, all we need to do is to act kind, act cautious. That's good to act. You need to be kind. You ought to be kind. You should be kind. But that's not as much the message of the gospel, right? But then it's not, come and see my pastor, he will solve all your problems. You say that's not the case. It's not a life without crisis will be full of Christ. So if life without Christ, rather, will be full of crisis, that's not as much the message of the gospel. What do you mean by crisis? You know, I said evangelism is not ministering the things of the spirit. Well, you know, at a local church, we stand strongly. At the local church, we stand strongly and believe strongly in the things of the spirit. But you see, that's just a means to an end, right? You can minister to someone, tell them this is about their lives. If they're not saved, they're not saved. Are we together? Yeah, if they're not saved, they're not saved. So our goal is to ensure that at least we present to them the message of the fact of the resurrection. So if you look at chapter one, it's the truth about evangelism. So evangelism, he said, every believer is called to preach the gospel. Sorry, one of the truths said is every believer is called to preach the gospel. The gospel and its fact will be, you know, the fact that Jesus was killed, was buried, and he resurrected on the third day, like he said, and he was seen. Altogether, he was seen. So what's the gospel? So if you are going to the street and you want to say, someone gives you 20 seconds to talk, what do you teach there? Well, there's a man, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who came to die for the sins of man. Okay, he came to die for the sins of man, and he died for the sins of man, it is so that he can exchange his life for that of man and give man his life, right? And a man must believe that he resurrected, and once you believe that, you are saved eternally. That's the message of the gospel in 30 seconds, in 40 seconds. That Jesus died and gave his life for your cause and for your sake, that you might receive his life and have life, yeah? Yeah, so Jesus, we said after the resurrection, he was seen by about 500 people, and when the Bible says he taught for about 40 days. That's the First Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 15, 1 to 6, there about. We said number two, evangelism is not an instruction, it's not an opinion. You see, scripture did not say, you see, this evangelism concept, I think I like it. What do you think about it? No, it's not about what you think. It's not about what you think. It's an instruction. Not an opinion or an option, not something that is given that requires your input. No, regarding the instruction. No, it's instruction, so it has to be instructive to our hearts. You know, so skills for evangelism are built by evangelizing. Yeah, so you don't get as effective as you should until you actually practice it. So you need to keep practicing the things of God. And like I always say it, and you heard me say it over and over again, you get better at every and anything you give your attention span to. That's just life, the way God has programmed life to be. Also, that evangelism involves taking initiatives to speak to and to speak with people, engage with discussions with people, engage with conversations with people, and ensure that you know that in your heart, your goal is to tilt that conversation to the praise of God's glory. Okay. Yeah, so we said every and anyone we meet or come in contact with deserves to be told the message of the gospel. So evangelism requires intentionality, and the gospel of evangelism is solely about the work of Jesus and Jesus himself. And we said also, we must also understand that our goal is to, you know, fulfill and complete that cycle where the evangelist becomes an evangelist. So you go to the street, you preach to someone who has never heard the gospel, you disciple the person to the point that that person now takes the same message he or she heard and now become a messenger of that message. Very important. I said evangelism is your responsibility, is my responsibility. So through that, we started looking through compassion and the attitude and the heart that a man must have towards the things of God and towards evangelism. Particularly, we looked at how important evangelism is to God, and we said God wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of His truth. Right, so we'll be faced with different situations, different challenges, but we must always remember that God wants men to be saved, and we are His vessel on the earth. Okay, so we look through the practical or the practice of practicality of evangelism. We looked through that. So we said, how can you start a conversation, right? Severally, I would say number one there is to learn to flow with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, thankfully for us as a local church, the gifts of the Spirit is something we prioritize, and we ensure that people are trained and grow and fulfill, you know, the expectation of them as believers. So we said, right, so you must understand that you must learn to flow with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's given to you as a believer. You must learn to operate with and in the gifts of the Spirit. Right, so how do I mean by that? You can go to someone, speak to someone, and whilst you're speaking to someone, or whilst you're even trying to ask for, do you have 10 seconds? Do you have 50 seconds? Do you have 50 minutes? Some details or information about the person just drops. That happens severally. It happens consistently. It has, and it keeps happening. You see, one of the things I always try, I pray about for myself is that I never get a time where I begin to doubt the supernatural. And that's why you hear me say things like, you need to guard your heart against the things you watch. You need to guard your heart against the things you listen to, right? So, yeah, because it's from clap that it goes to dance altogether. Right, you see, if you watch a lot of choreography, you realize that when people want to choreograph, right, or whatever it is, right, you see, they start with a slow tempo, then you rise it up, you build it up, right? So that's the way life is by default. Once you start clapping, if you consistently keep clapping, you'll get to dancing. It's from clap that people enter dance. That's a figure of speech, a parable. Yeah, and I hope you get the point. So, once you are trying to build that conversation, once you're just preparing the ground, you can have certain information, contact or details about people, and just say it. Right, someone says, oh, you ask someone, can I have 10 minutes of the time? And the person says, no, I don't have a time. I just say, oh, there's a pain at your back. There's a this at your knee. There's somebody who knows this. Do you know this name? Do you know that person? You know, and you, like I said, you will get better at these things with time, over time. Okay. And so you need to learn to flow the gifts of the Spirit. We've taught you in church. We keep teaching you, and we ensure it's not a mistake that we intentionally ensure that one time in a month we must have a believers meeting. It's very intentional. Not because we cannot stay away from it and just keep it for special meetings like we can do. No, we can as well have special meetings and also have a consistency of having believers meeting where saints come together, get direction, get clarity about the next phase or the present phase of their life. Very important. So that's why we train you to do it the way we train you. So when you come for meetings among the saints, feel at home, feel like a family. And that's one of the best places to express, right? So it's from those kind of meetings you're not able to fine-tune God's voice. You're not able to fine-tune what you are thinking. You're not able to fine-tune your impressions. Right? It's very, very important. Now, so the next point there is you need to learn to take the initiative and recall that it is your responsibility to initiate the gospel. Learn to take the initiative and recall that it's your responsibility to initiate conversations regarding the gospel. We looked at some scriptures there to help you with that. Now, we started looking at the practicality of asking questions on the road. We said when you meet someone who has a supposedly Bible or Christian name, you don't assume that by default the person is a believer. Just ensure you put the gospel. So one of the ways you can start on the street is can ask for time. I said methods that can include you asking, do you have a few seconds to spare? Do you have a few seconds to talk about love? Do you have a few seconds to talk about life? Do you also have a few seconds to talk about God? These are four introductions. What I'm saying to you today is you can try for in the first 6 months of your evangelical ministry or your practice evangelism and find out which one actually captures people and stick with it. And I'm trying to say to you that for the next 30 years, you can actually keep using that one method on your evangelism. what I've done for you in this series is I've poured out my heart, poured out everything in my head, and that's take it from someone who has preached in different climates, right? Yeah, I've actually preached in different climates. Yeah, I've preached. I'm not talking about being a special guest or speaking in a church. No, I've preached in different climates with different species of human beings, right? And so I've taken out everything I've used in all the climates as compressed into this series called The Evangelic Engaging Street. Right. So if you have me say something, do you have a few minutes to spare? Do you have a few seconds to talk about love? Can you spend a few moments of your day to talk about love? Can you, you know, talk about life? Yeah. Or can you just spare time first? You know, so that's me telling you what I've used, and it works. Okay. It works, right? And also once that starts, you can either start. So a lot of times when I see people who eventually give me a short period of their time, I might not end up introducing myself until the end. Yeah. Sometimes if it was an abrupt coincidence and colliding, yeah, you know what I mean by abrupt colliding, right? You just, let's say you step into a path or a walkway, I just see someone about to talk about the gospel, you can use my name is to catch your breath. Yeah, it's always done. Yeah, can use my name is, but a lot of times what I do is I don't as much introduce myself until the end, right? I won't finish talking like, oh, my name is Joshua, what's your name? Or what's your name? When they tell me, and I tell you my name is Joshua, right? It's very, very important. These are very important facts to do all. You can also start with, hello, my name is Joshua, and I'm here to talk about, or do you have a few minutes to spare? Or can you just tell me what you know about love? You see, it can mix it anyhow. My name is Joshua, please. We're just going around as a local church for this, we're all going together, or we are going alone. Yeah, I'm just going around asking people what their perspective and orientation about love is. Do you mind just praying a few seconds to have that conversation? The love part usually works mostly. So if I were to put the statistics on the amount of people, which of them will work the most, love, life, God, and just ask for a spare time, usually works more. I would say first it's going to be love. Love, that word always captivates and captures people. Right, so it's something you can emphatically ensure that you consistently keep paying attention to it. And so another way, again, you can go around is to pay a compliment, a sweet compliment, a basic compliment, you know, not a naughty compliment, right? A very basic compliment. Oh, your smile is good. Oh, you smell nice. If they really do, I'm not saying go and lie, right? But you can start conversations, form compliments, and you can transform the lives of people by just taking that initiative, right? You know, your perfume is, you smell good. You have, you know, this, you have that. Yeah. Yeah. See somebody on, you know, going on a bus with you, on a train with you, and they're reading a Christian book. You can initiate that. Oh, that's a lovely book. Oh, wow. It sounds like a Christian book. Oh, how do you find it? Yeah. So it's something you can ensure that you are, you just have to be on top of the ball. Okay. You have to be on top of the ball. So you can ask about love, ask about life, ask about faith, you understand, ask about, you know, any of these conversations that I mentioned about, or God, like I said, if I had mentioned that. So we said for the love route, you can say, can you tell me about love? Listen to what they have to say. Listen to what they have to say. Use what they are saying to help fine tune. So one of the ways I did, I remember one of my last outreaches, I reached out to a couple and, you know, they had spoken about what they thought about love. And what I did was, whilst they were trying to give me explanations of what they thought about love, what I did was I helped them to fine tune their thinking about love. Let me give you a quick example. So for instance, trying to say something like, oh yeah, so they're giving me synonyms of love, it shows that you care. Yeah, and just have saying things like, oh, does it include sacrifice as well? Really, you don't find anyone who says love is not sacrificial, right? So you pick it up from the point of sacrifice. I'm going to tailor your narrative through sacrifice, right? I remember telling, you know, giving a, I don't know, other couple, a young man and young lady, you know, what it is. Right, and that's giving, painted a story of a man who rescued his child, you know, by going to the prison for his sake and everything. And when he came out, and all of a sudden, as soon as I finished the narrative, they were so captivated. And eventually, I said, "That is you in that story. That is you in that story." And you could just see the facial expressions, you could see the expression, you could see the sense of joy, and it made more sense to them. So it's very important for you to just, you know, observe your body language, observe the conversation in your narratives, right? Don't always be headlong, as pastors told me. Once I say, can you tell me about love? The next question is, what do you think about love? And pastor said, the next question is, can you tell me about love? And no, don't be headlong. What I'm doing for you is giving you a way to guide your approach to people. For God, we said you can ask questions about what do you think about God? Do you believe there's a God? Do you believe there's an existence of a God? And if you could ask God one question, what would that be? If you could ask God to do one thing, what would that be? What if I told you that he has done something already as a response to them asking God for something? Like for the life route, we said you can ask questions around where do you see yourself in the next 20 years, 30 years? There's no how you will keep speaking to people and they will not get to the point where in their mind they will think of death. There's no how. It has never not gotten there in my experience, and I've been practicing this for running into some good 8 years now, if not more. All right, yeah, it's always usually would end in that point where they have no more answer and they believe that the next answer is death. Right, so you can pick it up then. What do you think about afterlife? What do you think about after death? What happens after death? Do you think there's something? Yeah, then can I that's venture into presenting the basic facts of the gospel to whoever you are speaking to at the time. So we're through all of these things. I hope you know that I'm just summarizing in the classroom. We said public transport, spots of the bus in the mall, in the markets when they are running a crowd. They'll start looking at follow-up teachers as well. We said that you can look through your follow-up teaching. We start looking at forgiveness of sins, and look before then we looked at what did we look at first? I think we looked at sonship, if I'm not mistaken. Right, we look through sonship, we look through what's the word again? Forgiveness of sins, we look through righteousness. So we start looking at what happens when one is saved, what does it need to do, needs to give his attention to spiritual growth, and it has to be intentional, else it will not grow. Right, we look at sonship, who am I, who is God to me, what is God to me, or whatever, who am I to God? I'm a son of God. We taught that concept consistently from scriptures, gave you scriptures as well to go through that. We looked at I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? I'm God's righteous man. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We looked at also forgiveness of sins, and we said forgiveness of sins as much a separation of man from his trespasses, right? And we looked through enough scriptures to just explain that. We also went into the indwelling of the Spirit. So we said, went through the indwelling of the Spirit and paid attention to what exactly is the reality of the Spirit of God in our hearts. What does that mean to us when we say the Spirit of God is in our hearts? The moment we finished from there, that led into what we call spiritual growth. And if you look through on Sunday, I tried as much as possible as well, and the Sunday before, to pay attention to spiritual growth as much as we could. Right? So the spiritual growth is strictly about the need for you to see the fact that you need to grow. Let me say differently, the need for you to understand that you need to grow. The need for you to understand that you need to go. It is a very, very, very important reality that you must ensure that you pay attention to. So we said spiritual growth, indwelling of the Spirit. Then now we're now starting looking at what spiritual growth involves. We talk about love, walk, forgiveness, and also say it comes with devotion, which is going to lead into our series for the next month. I will say the series for next month is consecration. Flyers are ready as well. That should be made available after this meeting. So we said consecration, your devotion. What does it mean? We looked at what devotion involves. We said devotion involves praises to God, involves prayer to God, involves listening to God. So it also involves praying, and also involves listening and fellowshipping with God's word. I said, whilst there's a private need for fellowship with God, there's also the need for becoming members of a community. How to get the members of a community. We also said it's very important for you to take out and meditate on God's word. I would say meditation involves you deeply thinking upon something and revolve your thinking, your mind. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, this book of Lord shall not depart from about, but thou shalt meditate in day and night, right? So we need to give ourselves to the meditation of God's word. It means we revolve around our minds, around thinking God's word. So you can read a portion of scripture, you just keep pondering on the effect or the impact. Mind you, it has to be in the context, right? Yeah, you don't pick a text out of context and just begin to ponder. Yeah, you pick a text within the confines, having understood the background, and you know, use that to influence or pay attention to pay attention to meditating on God's word. Now let's go into what we have for today. Now, how to follow up and why do we follow up? Now, what's the reason for discipleship? Why do we always have to have that attitude of discipleship? We were speaking about the topics that you need to speak about fundamentally for a believer. I said also, you don't listen to one thing your pastor has said or two things your pastor has said and run with it and start trying to, you see, it's better for you to have different categories of friends. There are friends who I have that when they call me, They need me to do something for them, or they want to get something from me. There are friends who, when I reach out to, I'm reaching out to ask a lot of times about their well-being, about their lives, and their friends as well. Once I reach out to ask about their well-being and life, I reach out to ask about some doctrinal persuasion or doctrinal questions. Okay, all right. And there are people who, there are people who, the moment I hear something or something boggles my mind or something tries to shift my thing or something tries to walk me or turn, yeah, or something just tries to, you know, engage me. That's the word, to engage my thinking faculty, right? One of the things I do, I have specific friends, definite friends, and it's good, right? It's good. It's very good. It's very good to have this kind of friends where you can throw things on. Friends who, you know, are mature. When I mean mature, I mean in their approach to God's word, number one, number two, in how they will relate with you and God's word and how they will think. And people who will not want to make a point or prove a point that, you know, they know something or they don't know anything. Yeah. So, you know, I have those kind of friends. I also have friends who I know that I can fellowship with them, but I can't have doctrinal conversations with them because it will not usually end well. I also have friends who I can't have doctrinal conversations with because I'd rather not, I have a sense of fellowship with them. Yes, we are brothers, we are siblings in Christ Jesus, you know, but we clearly know we don't believe alike, yeah, but I have a sense of fellowship with them. It's very important to note that, you know, I have those in their numbers and their tens into hundreds, actually, you know. So I also have friends who, you know, I have friends who can wake me up in the middle of the night and say, let's just pray. Or if I have a friend, for instance, who can just call me and message me and say, brother, we have to spend an hour praying, yeah, so give me what does the timetable look like in next week? Yeah, I was, you know, we can work out something, spend an hour, 2 hours praying in the afternoon or whatever day or whatever night it is. And so you have those categories of friends. But what I'm talking about, when you are discipling, yeah, you ensure that as long as, see, it's not difficult to know who you are, who looks up to you for their doctrinal convictions or persuasions. Altogether, yeah, you can tell by how they listen, you can tell by the kind of questions they ask you, you can tell by the tone they used to ask you the questions. Right, so you will know who you are discipling and who, you know, looks up to you, right? You know, and so it's very, very important. Yeah, so I have friends, for instance, who I know that they reach out to me, and the way they will ask their questions, you know that, oh, this person has been listening to me for a while, or has heard me say this here, has heard me say that here. And also have friends who they look for what I teach just to come and ask me questions to get clarity, or they look for what I teach just to come and ask me questions to try punch holes on things that I teach or things I believe in. Well, it's very, very important for you to understand that in life you would have different categories of people, but I'm emphatically paying attention to disciples. You know, on Sunday, we try to tackle the question which one of us had asked around how do you maintain relationships with people who have different doctrinal persuasions as you are. Yeah, one thing you must understand is when it comes to the things of God, to become a member of the family of God, you need to actually understand that it's strictly by believing in the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Strictly, your doctrinal convictions, persuasion, theological acumen cannot influence you to be a child of God. You only and solely become a child of God by believing in the work of the resurrection. Right? So it means you're going to have people who your slants will not be the same. See, you will have people who your slants are not going to be the same. Right? I have very good friends that if we hear how I go out of my way just to have that relationship, encounter, conversation with them, and we don't believe alike, right? That's just what life is going to entail, right? One of the things you must understand, you must fight against is trying to think that everybody is your enemy because they don't believe like you, right? Yeah, think about it this way, yeah? You have somebody who is fighting you because you don't believe like them. You don't have to transfer that same energy. I understand it's life and, you know, we are prone to some influence and by default, we just respond. So try as much as possible to be a responsive person, right? Try as much as possible to, you know, to be very proactive. Don't just react. You understand? You can be that kind of person. Yeah, you can be that kind of person, right? I also have friends who, if I want to talk about how to make $1 million between now and tomorrow morning, $1 million. Yeah, you get the point, right? I have friends who I can reach out to. You understand? So you would have diverse relationships you are involved with, but just ensure that you don't get yourself all worked up trying to get enemies and you know people who are not talking with because of different personal persuasions. You must always remember that we are all growing. Yes, you are growing. I am growing, you are growing, I am growing, we are all growing. You see, one of the things that gives me joy as a pastor, the fact that I never listen to myself, and what I hear myself saying is that, oh, this is what the Holy Spirit taught me privately, and nobody else on the earth knows altogether. Yeah, what am I trying to say? It means that if I come back tomorrow and come and tell you, oh, I said this and that and this and that, yeah, it means that, well, it just really means that I at the time I might not have weighed as much the implications of the things I was standing for. It's all growth altogether. It's all growth. So you must understand that there are those who are your disciples, and there's a way to go around it. So one of the things I wrote in my notes is around, imagine you giving birth to a newborn baby, a new child, and you just take the baby from the hospital and just take the baby back home and just put them in their room and just say unto them, say, all right, baby, all right, sweetie, all right, my dear beloved child, you have my DNA in you, right? See, there's milk in the fridge. There's Bonvita in the fridge. If you want to get roasted tomato, just check under the oven, right? The bathroom is over there. And, in case we don't have anything at home, there's Tesco just around the corner. And if you want to, yeah, you don't do that. Yeah. What am I trying to say? When you have a new person, a newborn in the faith, you need to understand that it's a responsibility to help them to cultivate their faith, to help them to grow at least to live fundamental rhythm. Do you understand how for the first few years of newborn baby's life, you set the template as to what the baby can build on for the rest of their lives? Right? And the fact that you set the template doesn't mean that they don't require you as their parents growing up or when they get to certain ages. I know it's in our world right now where we think that our parents are stupid and we're always stupid and we'll always be stupid. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people believe. Our parents, we're not wise, we're not intelligent, we're not brilliant, they didn't know. Yeah, well, like I always tell you, right? You see, there's a parable, there's a figure of speech people usually say that what a young person will see. Now, there's definitely you see, one of the problems I have a lot of times when I listen to a lot of people privately and personally is that we use one extreme to fight another extreme. Altogether, you use one extreme to fight another extreme. Yeah, you use one extreme. So let me give you an example, right? Somebody's teaching that you can be born again, but once you lie, you are a pundit of hellfire, right? So you have to ask God for mercy, else you cannot be forgiven. So someone comes and wants to tackle that theology, and what they say is, well, even if you are with a knife and you stab somebody at the middle of his heart, and as you just do, as you just move your hand towards the chest, you think just pierces his heart and blood spews out, and just say, dun 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 dun. And what they say is that the trumpet. And no matter what you are doing, the trumpet shall blow, right? You are already in God's kingdom. Yeah, that's using one extreme to take another extreme. Yeah. You see someone says, if you want your life to progress, you need to give an ogress, right? Or if you are suffering, all those dynamic things, right? You cannot pay your tithes, you will not do this yet. So if you now come, I want you now to say is, all these people, you are just giving all your money to your pastor. You're not going anywhere. Nobody's there. Yeah. Why can't you give? Better go and give your money to the orphanage. Yeah, so that's what you're doing. You're using one extreme to tackle another extreme, right? So you're using one extreme, that's another extreme. You find that a lot of times, people that have this approach of using extreme, tackle extreme, a lot of times what we do is we end up forcing our ideologies and thoughts into the Bible. We end up trying to force the Bible to say what it's not saying, just so that our ideologies and thoughts can be valid to us in our minds. You understand? Yeah. So it's something we need to actually pay attention to, trying to use extremes to fight another extreme. So the same thing as well, if someone just believes that I'm born again, once I'm born again, my spirit man is as old as the Ancient of Days. Yeah. So in fact, someone trying to talk about how we're no longer servants, we are sons of God. And Percy even said that, Jesus is not Jesus without me, right? Who he is, I am. What he can do, I can do. There is nothing that makes you just higher than me. We are equal. We are the same. Yeah, the joke is on him, right? Yeah, the joke is on him. When Father said things like, I can choose not to die on this earth. So you just find that people have a way of saying, using extremes. And that's why you see at the local church, we like to repeat the things we say over and over and over and over and over again, just so that you are clear on what we are saying. Yeah, you are clear on what you are saying. So you don't just say that because you are a Christian. We all have a spirit of, yeah, so you see people, right? So you see somebody is laying hands on someone, right? And probably maybe the person falls under the power of the Holy Ghost, under the under what you call the anointing, right? Yeah, the person falls under the power of the Holy Ghost, and you know, you just look up and say, all these people, yeah, and you start seeing the theology. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fall. Why don't you sit down? Why don't you, all these people that are fake? Yeah. You see somebody who, you see a video of someone making gestures, not making gestures, someone actually literally going around to, you know, get people's information from them when they come to church in the morning, then doing ministrationalizes the information for, you know, things of the spirit. And you now wake up and now say, all these people, there's nothing like things of the spirit, nothing like that. Stay with the word forever, the word forever. Yeah, the word forever. Miracles ended with the apostles. Yeah, so you just find out that that's one extreme, trying to fight another extreme. You shouldn't get yourself there, right? So whilst you're a Christian, everybody's a Christian, a Christian faith. The truth is that there is something called order. Is it the moment we understand that order in the real sense will not always be as palatable as what people will want it to be, right? It just saves you a lot of unnecessary stress when it comes to life generally. Yeah, there are some things that are just, it's just set in stone. You see, one of the things that I heard Pastor Nain Kashegun say a couple years ago, he says that when, as a Bible student, you are going through scriptures or you're studying scriptures, ensure you follow through scriptures and ask your questions well and try to see how you can revolve your study to the answer of the scriptures, not the answers in your mind. Because there's a tendency that because you have an answer in your mind, you have a thought in your mind, you now want to, you know, ensure that you communicate it by all means, right? Yeah, in personal scripture. So you just try to say that if your study pushes you to find out that this is that and this is that, just stay there, right? Because it's just God's wisdom on the earth. See, there's no need to question it. Yeah. So why am I saying all of these things? So you have everybody a Christian, everybody the same spirit, but the truth is that you cannot compare somebody who has been giving themselves to the practice of things of the spirit for 10 years in a local church that promotes that. You can't compare their spiritual stature and maturity with somebody who just got born again today. Yeah, so you as one who has been there for 10 years would need to hold and guide, right? And the one who is just born today, just like the same way you in your 20s, in your 30s, when you're 18, whatever age you give birth to your child, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever age it is, right? Because of how strong your bones have become, you are now able and capable to help guide and nurture and put, yeah? Yeah, so it is there. So a newborn today is not as much going to say, oh, I want to go and do that. I want to go and do this. I want to go and know my pastor. I can stand on the altar and preach. What my pastor? What does he know? I don't know. So I'm just trying to say that you must understand that as a disciple, you must be able to guide your disciple jealously. Well, let me say that differently, right? Ensuring that you give the appropriate milk. So there are some times that, you know, for a baby, right, you give it to a baby. I don't think I know of a baby who can be born today and tomorrow starts eating goat meat. You know, goats. Yeah, goats. Goats is an animal, and from part of the world where I come from, there's a way they make it, right? And there's a way they make it and make it very, very spicy. Yeah. So goat meat that is very spicy, and it has a Greek Latin word, so it's actually a mixture. If you look at the blend, if you look at the etymology from the Grecians, yeah. it's the word asun, right? Yeah. So you can't give a baby, right, as soon just from the hospital, right? And say you want his mouth or her mouth to just get used to Pepe, right? So you start with milk, from milk gradually keep growing to milk for a while, and after milk you start, in quotes, I always run away from using this kind of example because we now begin to make it look like there's the milk of the world, there's the meat of the world. But what I'm just trying to say is that there are some things you would need to emphatically lay as a foundation just to build, and just so that the baby or the child or newborn can build upon. Everything is food. It's still the same God's word. You see, what I'm trying to say is, you see how in the human language, in the human world, right, you give a baby, some people start with Cerelac, yeah, I don't know if that's what Cerelac is, that true? Yeah, Cerelac is whatever it is, right? So, but there's a point that a child, a human, stops drinking or taking Cerelac, right? So you can switch to maybe Goldimon, if I'm not mistaken, then Corn Flakes, right? Then Fruit and Fiber, then Rice Krispies, okay? Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that what the believer actually would need to grow is actually the same Cerelac, the same Cerelac, the same word altogether. However, the wealth of information and the wealth of Cerelac, okay, think about it this way. I want to believe that the stomach of a baby grows with time. Yeah, the stomach of a baby grows with time. So you have the same Cerelac, but you will not pour an entire carton or pack of Cerelac in the baby's body. You understand? You understand how children will grow gradually. You measure the spoons, measure the liters, and all of a sudden, yeah, you get to the point. Yeah, so you can now get to the point where, as an adult, you're looking at me now, you can finish a pack of Goldimon. Yeah, so Goldimon is also in that family. Yeah, so somebody finished can finish 350 grams of Goldimon. All right, yeah, so that means you built the appetite, but you cannot start your journey finishing a pack of Goldimon. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, follow up is something that you must understand that is your responsibility to help, to guide, to cultivate the faith of a newborn believer. So, the act of follow up just really means that you're making sure that a new Christian understands what is it they've come into, yeah? What is it they've come into? Right? What is it? Think about your baby. You give it to your baby. What are you doing as you're cultivating and nurturing? You're trying to make them see what they've come into. You start saying things like daddy. You start saying things like mom. You start saying things like boss. Right? You start saying things like train. You see, you are making them now come into a consciousness of the world they have now come into because they're in a world that they need to adapt to. They need to learn to. You see, that's a dog. That's a dog. You now start saying my head, my shoulder, my knees, my toe. My head, my shoulder, yeah. So you're trying to make them aware. So that's the same thing for the new believer. You must see that approach. You're trying to make them come into an understanding, a foundational, fundamental understanding of their relationship with God as new believers, right? So they need to know the baby steps, the first steps. That's why I say, baby, first we'll lie for a while. After lying for a while, before you know it, the baby will start crawling. Then after crawling, the baby will start walking. The baby will start walking. The baby will start running. Then from running, baby starts jumping from first floor to second floor. Are we together? And before you know it, baby just starts doing backflip. Yeah. So they see the progress. Yeah. So you must understand that the first steps of the new believer, it's in your hands, it's in your care. So you must see yourself like one who's a parent, who needs to be there to guide, right? So that to push them in the first steps as to how to grow their relationship with Christ and also to multiply their faith to others. Very important to help them establish their relationship with Christ, and also it will be good to put a pattern to it. So that's why I'm doing this. So what's your responsibility there? Number one, when it comes to follow-up, you must not delay to follow-up. So number one, don't delay your follow-up. Don't delay your follow-up. You see, when you go out for evangelism, let me tell you something. Don't go for evangelism without you having in mind a plan to get somebody's number. Yeah, because if you don't do that, what you will do is you might sow the seed. Yes, other people might eventually come sow the seed. But what happens? What about you thinking about what if you had one that could actually help and aid in watering the seed and seeing that that seed nurtures in the hearts of man? Right, so you actually shouldn't go around. So I don't go out. In fact, on my phone, yeah. So I know how to save people's number in certain ways that I remember them easily. Right. And one of the ways I do is I save people's number with where I meet them. Right. I mean, when I go for evangelism, so I save people's number with where I meet them, where I meet them, the month I meet them, and the year I meet them. So if you go through my phone, you see 2018, see 2019, see 2020, see 2020, see 2024, you see 2024 May, you see 2024 June, you see 2024 July. Yeah, it's that way. Yeah, because yeah, so you now know, for instance, there was one I was reaching out to who had spoken about how, we could hang out and we should share God's word and everything. All of a sudden he reached out to me when I was trying to follow up with him a couple of days or weeks ago, and he said that he's very busy, that he's working. He said he works from Sunday to Saturday, and every time that he's free, he's easy to do lesson or something like that. They say, go out there, you help yourself on this. So what I plan to do is give him time, go back to him again in a few weeks' time. Also, you can get actually a notebook. You see, if I ask some of you, if you ask me, who did I preach to in March that I interacted with? If you ask me, right, and I'm interacting with, I have a list where I write the names down. You see, you should have that notepad opened up in your on your phone where you have a detail. So in the month of July, I went out five times. My first outing, I met this person, met that person. We spoke about that. I mean, once I remember, I met this person, met that person. Usually for me, it's personal for me. I usually remember how the conversation went. Just remind me of the name, remind me of how we met, remind me where we met, the moment we met. I'll usually remember how the conversation went. But for you, you can actually, I mean, it does the same for you, that's fine. But just ensure that you have that detail. You write it down, collect their number, save their number, then have a day in the week where you used to catch up with all your follow-up members. Save number two, right? So number one is don't delete follow-up. Number two, get the numbers of people when you go for evangelism. That's an instruction, right? Yeah, you see, because you can't afford to have, you can't have a conversation. Once you have a conversation with somebody for more than 10 minutes, 15 minutes, there's every possibility that if you ask for a contact means to communicate or continue with them, they will give it to you. Did you hear that? Yeah, there's every possibility that they will give it to you. I've tried it. What I'm telling you, I've not read it in any book. I'm not giving you, I didn't go and research one book and I'm trying to tell you how to practice evangelism. I'm telling you what I've practiced in different climates around the world. That's the truth. Okay, right? And it works. Right? And it works. Right? It's on matters like this, we can say it works. So if it works, it's a practical thing, you can actually adapt it and adopt it. Yeah. You know, I could have kept these things to myself and continue to say I'm the champion of evangelism. Right? Yeah, the truth is, there will be people who, in fact, I have a pastor friend who has reached out to me that asked me to send all of our teachers and evangelism follow-up to him for his members to listen to. You know the funny thing? We don't have the same doctrinal persuasions. We don't share the same doctrinal persuasions, right? But what I'm trying to say is that's just somebody who I know. So I know somebody's going to listen to this teaching 10 years from now, 20 years from now. You might never speak to me, never reach out to me, you might never have a private conversation. But I'm trying to let you understand that I'm pouring out my heart as much as possible. I'm trying to let you understand that in 2024, in this world we are in, I'm telling you what has been tested, tried, and it works. Together, right? And it works, right? It usually works, right? So when it comes to, you know, following up with people, you must ensure you don't delay. It's very important for you to follow up immediately. That's number one. Now, what I mean immediately, don't allow 24 hours. Don't collect someone's number today and message them for the first time next week. No, you've allowed the brain to be overworked with so many things, and you've been buried just behind their brains or their back or their minds, right? Aim for a 24 hours period. Yeah, so that's an instruction, right? So aim for a 24 hours period. Oh, so within the 24 hours period, oh, I'm the one you met yesterday, I'm the one you met earlier today, I'm the one you met 5 minutes ago. Yeah, very important to note. You see what I'm teaching? I'm going to listen to this over and over again for my sanity, for my sake, for my development, for my growth. Are we together? Right? So you should have the attitude of, you met me. My name is Joshua. Hello there. How are you doing today? It was so lovely speaking with you today. Thank you for giving me your time. I just thought to let you have my number. Or this is my number. My name is Joshua. Have a beautiful week. Whatever it is. Then you, another instruction is you pay attention to actually putting a day or a day or some days in your calendar every week or every second week, every other week. Every other week means the week after the next, or every other week means every 2 weeks. Okay, yeah, you put a reminder on your phone to reach out to all the people you are following up, and you can reach out to them at once. What I'm saying is you can block an hour of your day. So if you litter your follow-up with your follow-up disciples for one person per day, right, especially at the initial points, you will get very tired easily. You know why? Because you think that you know how. So I know for some of you it's very difficult for you to actually chat up people, okay? So because you already see it is stressful to chat up people. Once you spread it across weeks, right, what you find out or across different days is that you'll get stressed, you might not be consistent, right, and eventually you will give up. But if you use 1 hour in a week to do your follow-up for everybody, what that does for you is that your mind is programmed towards that hour. So whatever energy you use to get yourself to send to one person, just reproduce that energy and send to every other person. So you have, so two things you said. I said number one, number two, you have a list. Number one, don't hesitate, don't delay your follow-up and share within 24 hours. Number two, you have a list of the people who were receptive to your conversation, who you would have collected their number. Number three, within 24 hours, ensure you send the message to them, right, to introduce yourself. Number four, from the week after, you keep adding them to your already existing list. Are we together? Right? You've seen their numbers with the name, with the month you met them. You already keep adding them to already existing list. Now, next one is you put a timing on your calendar to ensure that this is my day for follow-up. So my day for follow-up is a Friday. Okay. So I'm giving you Friday because it's easier for me to find someone who is already happy that the week is ending to respond to me than somebody on Monday. Yeah, so it's easier to reach out to people Thursday, Friday. I found that and they respond a lot of time. So you can make it Monday and Tuesday. Any day works for you. I'm just me trying to be, you know, tell you what I'm doing from my experience, right? So you can make it a Friday, Thursday afternoon, right? And just speak a message. Let me tell you something. It's the same message you can send to everyone. Just change your name, change the name of the person. Change your name, change the name of the person. Change your name, change the name of the person. You don't have to create a new template for new people. Let me tell you. Nobody is reading people's chat to see who is texting them. Peradventure they are. Well, you see, that text that you sent is your intellectual property. Praise God. Yeah, is your intellectual property. You see, what I'm giving to you is my own intellectual property. Someone listened to some of our teachings recently. Not even someone. I've had probably almost 5 people who have listened to some of the things I've said in this series. I've said I should put it into a book. Well, let as many people be blessed with it for now. And I'm not prompted or led to have any of those conversations for now. But let's see how the coming days into years will unfold. But what am I trying to say? Yeah, you have intellectual property on your message, right? So you can have what message, and you send that message to everyone. Right, as your follow-up message, you can have one template. It is your prayer, or rather, it is your mind. Rather, it is it, so. When I was thinking already about prayer, because sometimes I remember that there's a lady who I'm following up with, and she's her name is Lizzie, right? She's in Edinburgh, you know. And what I do sometimes is, I mean, she's still with her parents, a young lady, born, bred in the UK, you know, in Scotland, and still with her parents, as she's seen as a young person. So I'm having to be very careful. I've not had interactions, you know. So, but one of the things I do is once in a while, I send prayers, send reminders about God's love, just send all of those things, you know. And all of that. What I'm trying to say, you can use the same prayer for every single person. Right, you see, what I'm saying to you now is out of my notes. I probably need to ask one of you to give me your notes so that I can update my notes so that when I'm coming back to you next year, I remember what the things I've said, because I'm just trying to be myself and thinking of myself on the mission field that I'm teaching you right now. Okay, so one of the things I wrote here as well, okay, I think I spoke about this one actually, build a data page or repository. You can have an Excel sheet, or it can be on your phone, as simple as a note, a tab. Just open just one note on your notes. Notes, one note on your notes. For those of you that use whatever, yeah, and then everybody that uses, for those of you that use phones, right? So just open that phone, just title it Evangelism and Follow Up, or Follow Up Evangelism, yeah, or Follow Up UK, yeah, or Follow Up Nigeria, anywhere, any part of the world you are in, yeah. So ensure that you follow up consistently. Now, the truth now remains that you can actually now start scheduling invitations after like 2 or 3 conversations. What would 2 or 3 conversations mean? You've already done one introduction, which is within 24 hours of you meeting them. Then you now do a second conversation, which is now going to be fall under your weekly catch up with your people. Then you can now what ensure and start scheduling visits. And usually what you can do with this visit is to encourage people to come with their friends. Yeah, a lot of times, like I said, I'm a member of a community of pastors in Scotland here, you know, and they did the statistics amongst the Scottish people and people who live in Scotland, basically, and found out that the age range in which people are usually coming to the truth of God, but are coming to, you know, receive Jesus into their life and give their lives to Christ on account of that, is usually between the people who are within the range of 18 into their early 20s, right? So a lot of times, truth is, I've subconsciously begun to emphasize on those people in recent months, in 2 years, right? And it works, right? So one of the things again you can do for, so I'm talking about people who are probably students, students, secondary school, university, right? You can also start asking to schedule meetings with themselves and their friends, and ask them to talk about, or to bring them along with their friends. Yeah, so you must ensure, the reason I'm saying all of this is you must also always remember that, see, whilst we are fighting, in your fight in the real sense, and the devil is actually fighting as well. The devil is fighting as well, you know. So if you are not fighting by default, if you are complacent, if you are just neutral by default, you have totally allowed the devil. You are subconsciously allowing the devil to rule, because it's a combat over the heart of a man, right? So you can't afford to just be neutral. You can't afford to just be on the middle ground. It's actually going to cost a lot. So you need to ensure that you are actively combating, and in that combating of yours, you're actually ensuring that you are not neutral. Yeah, you have a stand, because the moment you are neutral about reaching out to lots, you are by default among those who support in the shining of darkness on the earth. Yeah, in the prevailing of darkness on the earth. Yeah, so you must ensure that devil is always working, looking for who to discourage in their hearts and everything. So you ensure you are always there. Give them a few minutes, give them a call, get their details, first interaction, invite them to talk, to meet, and talk about what kind of things you can, what kind of places you can invite them to. Ensure you don't invite them to your house. Ensure you don't go to their house. For starters, try as much as possible not to invite them to your house, and ensure you don't go to their house. Now, what does that do for you? It makes you security conscious, right? So some of you who, you go to someone's house, you don't like animals, you don't like pets, you don't like whatever it is. Yeah, you want to be careful. Okay. Yeah, you want to be careful, so that when we're, as we're praying for souls, we're not praying for your leg to heal from dog that bites you, right? Let's focus on souls that are perishing. Let's focus on it. Yeah, don't give us more, you know, assignment that let your cast heal. We pray that your cast, yeah, you get the point. Yeah, let's ensure that. So you aim for a public place. There are so, everywhere is public apart from your house, in fact. So what I mean is, there are so many, there are more, I want to believe there are more public options that you can possibly have than you can imagine. Yeah, so suggest a public place. A McDonald's quick chat can be, a mall can be, entrance of a mall can be, Burger King for the UK, KFC for Nigeria, and the choice, I said the choice, Genesis, right? The place, sorry. Yeah, that's for nine people listening to me in Nigeria, right? You talk about different McDonald's. Yeah, so you can actually just look around wherever that is a neutral and public and open place, okay, right? And wait for them to respond. Now, in all of that, in that your message to request for that, you can also add a conversation around they can invite their friends and family, right? Yeah, for me, you know, what I do is, because ideally I would speak to two people at once, because you rarely see these young people in quotes alone. Yeah, I've noticed that you rarely, not that they're not always in there, yeah, you rarely. And even if you have met alone, I realize that they're either going to meet one of their friends or the other friend, yeah, or they're just coming from their friend and going back home, yeah. So you must ensure that, you know, so in meeting them, you can ask them to invite their friends, invite their families, and come around, look for a central point, get them there, and also try as much as possible to be flexible. So if you say McDonald's, they say, I prefer KFC because it's, yeah, be flexible. Yeah, explain that you would like to share some things that you know. So what your request is to do is to request for time. And in request for time, you can ask for time to do what, if they ask you for what, say, just thought it would be nice to share some things that will help you, you know, in building that relationship with God, in fostering that relationship with Christ. It looked like you enjoyed the last conversation. It could be a call as well. Look like you enjoyed the last conversation, and in those conversations, I thought that, and there's some other things I've penned down that I could use to just give you or guide you. You say, I don't like to see you. I said, do you mind if you do it over the phone? Yeah, do it over the phone. You can have a phone call. Then you can start programming calls. You can start programming calls. And you can even start programming video calls, right? On Google Meet, on Zoom, on WhatsApp call, just to get the attention of them as well. So, like I said, invite them, encourage them to bring their friends, meet them in a place. You can even look for schools around you. Where are schools around you that can allow you to meet for free? Or where you have benches, where you can sit 3-4 people down and stand in front of them and speak to them, right? Yeah, so meeting a group of friends. See, let me tell you something. In this part of the world we are in, for instance, the UK, it's very easy for you to just be very complacent with the things of God and just say, because you are in this kind of control environment, you don't want people to think you are brainwashing their children or whatever it is. Now, I know there's a risk of that. That's understandable, right? But you will not, because of that, not reach out and disciple people altogether. You will not. I want to trust that you will be matured and very matured enough to know whether, let it not be that in the real sense, the parents or someone's parents is accusing you of brainwashing and that's what you're really doing, right? But you should know where the gap is, where the line is, and that's why I give the kind of series and teachings you will teach in the scriptures, right? Sonship with righteousness, forgiveness of sins, and those very elementary fundamental basics of the Christian faith. You know, so you must ensure that, you know, you meet in the open, number one, flexible, number two, encouraged to bring friends, number three. One of the things that, you know, found out is that once you have more students together or more friends together, they are usually prone to listen a lot of times. In fact, it's so funny how every time I speak to more than three friends or four friends or five friends or sometimes six, seven friends, there's usually going to be one who is very naughty. Oh, did I just say naughty? Sorry. Let me rephrase those words. There'll usually be somebody who is actually going to be exceedingly naughty. Sorry, I had to use the same word. What I mean is you can tell that this person is just trying to mock you, but you don't pay attention to it. So let me tell you what I do in those situations. I try to, in the crowd, identify the closest person who is attentive. Now, I understand that someone who looks like they're paying attention might not be paying attention, but at least to give it away, let's just even start with somebody who looks like they're paying attention, and I focus on them. In fact, I usually catch myself doing this such that I now know that person's name before I read that person's name. So I now pick them as an example in my stories, and in teaching with that example, I'm emphatically now calling the name over and over and over until I'm like, well, you should know everybody's name here. And I start asking. You know, I've caught myself severally that even when I start asking other people what are their names, it doesn't stay. The mind is powerful. It doesn't stay. But there's just that one person. And when I now ask for numbers at the end of it, it's that one person. And so you have to be very vigilant and alert. Pay attention, open your eyes, observe, right? A lot of times as well, I found out that when they are among themselves, they are more relaxed to talk. Young people around them, saying friends as well, they are more relaxed to talk, you know. Also, an event, it also makes the potential to share the gospel very high. Like I said, invite other students, come together. Another way you can go around it is, you can try to meet or merge two or three people you have made different together for one meeting. So you have one follow-up meeting. What that means is go up for evangelism today, go up for evangelism tomorrow, go up for evangelism on Saturday, on Sunday, then next week, Tuesday. Then three of the people you are contacting, just because you know you need time, right? You need time for your life, you need time for other things, you need time to study, you need time to pray, you need time for evangelism, you need time for work. So because you know you need time, yeah, you can now try to find a middle ground. You can even start aiming for once a month. It's not too much, it's not too small. Once a month, you can start there. Get once in a month, 30 minutes conversation. Try and see how you can get a neutral time for two, three. It's usually going to be, once you start getting into four, five, six, seven, eight people come together as well. You have started a local church now, because anything that makes eight people come together at once deliberately because of, So I'm trying to say it's not impossible, but I'm just trying to say, just start progressively. Start with two or three people that met randomly, introduce them to themselves, have a conversation with everyone together, and progress that conversation as well, yeah? Right, so it's very, very important. So one of the things you can pay attention to in your first meeting or first physical meeting with them, I've said a lot, I know, right? What you can do is to ensure that you fine-tune your notes. So you can have a note. You see, you can have a note for your follow-up teaching that is consistent for the next 10 years. Yes, you can have a note. Yeah, that every first meeting you make, and that's why I did it to you. I can't remember how many teachings we did on follow-up, maybe five or six. Right, it was intentional, and I told you that first teaching can last five meetings, or you can actually have that first teaching for one meeting. It's God's word, okay? Yeah, so you must ensure that you have your notes prioritized and you have your time prioritized. You need to also understand with them, how long are they willing to give you? How long are they willing to listen to you? Very, very important. How long are they willing to be patient to listen to you? How long do they have before their mom calls them, their father calls them, their uncle? Yeah, you must need to understand all of those things and frame it. You, even if it's 20 minutes you get, don't start teaching them 2 hours like me, I'm teaching you 2 hours. No. You can you listen to yourself for 2 hours? Yeah, can you listen to yourself for 2 hours? Yeah, so you need to ensure that you start progressively. Right, then you can now start talking about, you know, so personalize your time, how you want to go around it, when you come together, what's the first way to kickstart the conversation, right? So you must ensure you don't talk more about yourself, it's about them, focuses on them. Oh, what class are you in now? How is this going for you? What do you want to be in future? You can start from there, right? And you have 15 minutes left and use it for God's word on salvation. Altogether, but that way you've opened up your heart, your eyes, your knowledge to now know your heart to now know more about it. So you put less of yourself as a focus, more about them, primarily more about Jesus, right? So talk about things that children are interested in, visions, what they plan to see themselves, you know, and ensure that you are listening. You know, some of us listen to respond. That's what I found out a lot in this world. A lot of times, people listen just to respond. No. One of the ways you can to be a very good, you know, student and also a disciple is actually to be a good listener. You need to listen. Listen, let people that are talking talk and finish talking. Don't be interjecting people. Yeah, don't take that approach to the streets. Yeah. So listen to people, let them talk, let them open up their heart, open up their mouth, let them just be free, let them get free with you. You see, one of the things I've had people over the years who have and I'm sure a lot of you will know that, right? The amount of information I know about you in a short period of time, you find out that it's actually a lot, right? In fact, a couple reached out to me and said, how come this pastor knows my life this much, so that I've been in a local church before for probably 10 years and the pastor does not know half of what I know in 1 week? And I think the only reason is because I listen a lot. Yeah, you have to be a listener to follow up. You see, what I'm teaching you is the art of discipling that also involves the pastoral aspect and shepherding aspect of it. Yeah, you will need and ought to be a listener. You got to be a listener. You need to be a listener. So listen well. In your listening, you can take notes and take and let them know, oh, I'm taking notes for what you're listening, so that when you finish, I can know what I want to say. Yeah, you can take notes. If you think you want to listen and you listen and you're good, that's fine. You listen well. Yeah, but you ensure that you listen and listen. Like I said, have a time frame. Ensure that you listen properly. Right. Then also one of the things you can start teaching them about is the need for spiritual growth. You can either start from need for spiritual growth, can start from salvation. What we've done in those follow-up teachings is to ensure that they are all elementary, so to say. Right. So you must understand how the someone who is saved or someone who wants to follow Jesus or, you know, live a life for Jesus, you know, there's much to learn. And also ensure that you, in telling them there's much to learn, let them know you are there to answer their question. Let them know that, oh, if you have any question, feel free to ask me. If I know the answer, I'll teach you, I'll tell you. If I don't know the answer, I'll go back to my pastor. If I don't know the answer, I'll get back to you on the answer. It's that simple, right? Don't think you have to answer. I've always said this thing. Don't think you have to answer everybody's question in the universe regarding doctrine. You don't always have to. You don't always have to. It's very, very important for you. So you just have to show that commitment, you know, show that sense of commitment and devotion, and also ensure that you listen to them. And also, you see, after a couple of weeks, a couple times of being together, right, challenge them to keep meeting. Challenge them to keep meeting. And before you know it, one of the ways you can establish them easily is to bring them into a community, right? Because that way they now begin to see people who have same passion, same mind, same orientation, same ideologies like them. Not like them, really. Like them, I mean by they have questions in their heart, they have conversations they want to resolve, they have things they think they want to sort out, right? Or they just see people who are serving God with them, worshiping with God with them, you know, and just, you know, we are product of influence. We are all product of influence. And that's just the truth. We are all product of influence, right? What templates you see, it helps you fine-tune your mind. So you need to set a good template. I was thinking about it a couple of weeks ago in church, and I'm like, in a real sense, we have majority of people who come to church on Sundays already in church before 10. Okay, you see, that's a solid example. That's a great testimony to say in a local church. Yeah, it is. In a world where it's 10 o'clock, people want to shower. And doesn't mean that we'll not have people who come at 10. You know, we have people who come at 11. Yeah. But the fact remains that you see, we have most of the members of God's palace already seated in church. So that's it. It makes me see the importance of influence. And the only way you actually can do that is because one way or the other, I subconsciously influence you to that. Yeah. I've subconsciously influenced you to that. You must be an example. You must be a worthy example. Right, I've systematically influenced you. I've never given an instruction and say you must come here, but I know I've never. Right, but can you see how influence works? And that's why community matters a lot. Your community matters a lot, right? I would not expect any of you, for instance, to travel anywhere or go to another local church or whatever it is, and you are consistently known for going lifts, and that's backsliding. Yeah, people that say believers don't backslide. You're already slid. You're already behind. Yeah, so you must understand that, you know, you must be a worthy example, right? So it also means, what am I saying to you? If you say you want to meet your disciples and follow up with them, and say, let's meet at 4 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock, you want to shower. Say, I am brushing your teeth at 3:55. I say, I'm about to catch the bus. No. See, learn the art and the attitude, right, of being at your meeting points before whoever you have asked to come. altogether. Yeah, you can do that. It's not impossible. You can do that. It's not impossible. You can do that. It's not impossible. There'll be a time in God's palace, yeah? There's going to be a time in God's palace where you would rarely see me before a Sunday service. You will rarely see me before a Monday service. It's going to happen. You can, in fact, even in Nigeria church already, as it was or as it is before I left the country, before I left Nigeria, right? Yeah, I don't have interactions with people. Not because I'm not in church, or I'm in church, I don't have interactions, because the number of people I can interact with before service, you realize that not everybody will know how to keep a matter till after church to talk to pastor about. Not everyone will know. So just to ensure that pastor is not in the model and blah, blah, blah. So when you say pastor who is coming to church at time for service, it's not entirely a wrong thing, or you say he doesn't have to serve. No, my brother say that at foundational stages, right? Yeah, you want to meet your disciple, be there 10 minutes before. Be there 10 minutes before. Observe the environment. Look through the environment. Observe what is going on in the environment. Pay attention to what's going on in the environment. Look for, you find out there's a chair somewhere. Oh, let's meet at this chair point, right? You have a rag in your bag, right? You have a rag in your bag. You have your Bible with you, yeah? You have your notebook on your phone or your notebook written down somewhere, right? But just ensure you go prepared. Don't go as if, you know, they just force you to go there. Right? Imagine you, somebody you are following up with, your disciples waiting for you at your meeting point. Yes, I know, it shouldn't be like that. Right? So you ensure that you show a sense of integrity, show a sense of discipline. Right? You must ensure you show that sense of discipline. And also ask questions as well to see what they are hearing. Right? You see that thing I practice with us in church, right? Discuss with your neighbor the things you've learned today. And you realize that a lot of times, at least one person must have something they blend without looking into their notes. Sometimes looking into their notes, but that's fine as well. Yeah. So always ask questions as well to let them to hear what they are hearing. Right? You hear what they are hearing, right? You hear what you hear what they are hearing and what they are concluding. Right? You know, so a very simple question you can ask is, if life were to end today, or if the world were to come to an end today, or if death should come to anyone today, right? And you got to heaven, in quotes, right? And you know, you were asked, why do you want to go into heaven, right? You see, if someone says, because I'm saved, it means that they're listening to you actively. It also means if someone says, oh, but heaven is not something that has a gate and I have to get to, it also means they're listening to you actively. But you see, what it does for you is that it makes you see the level at which people are that are listening to you. Do you know what I just said? So you meet somebody on the road, you meet two people on the road, right? You teach them as your disciples and follow up with them. And one of the questions you ask both of them is, if life, the world were to end today and you were to go into what people call heaven, and at the door of heaven, at the gate of heaven, God should ask you a question and say, right, maybe after 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks of teaching these people, God should ask you, so why should I allow you to go into heaven? And one says, because Jesus died for my sins. That's a brilliant answer. Yeah. And one now says, well, I don't think that can exist, right? Because Christ lives in me, and it means that by default, my eternal state cannot be questioned. You've just made an negative. You've just made an evangelist. You get the point. Yeah. So why did I give that example? Just to show you how you can use questions to answer. So for instance, you do a teaching on sonship. Right, and you have a boy and a girl in your meet, or a man and a woman, right? And you ask a question about, are you a child of God? Are you a son of God? Right? You know, when you say, are you a son of God? And the woman and the lady says, no, I'm a daughter of God. Yeah, you can say, oh, that's brilliant, that's beautiful, that's lovely. But you know, when I was actually talking about sonship, I wasn't as much talking about the male species. I was actually just talking about somebody who was an inheritor. So you can now go there and now begin to navigate and explain through to them. Very important. Look for an opportunity to share the gospel, right? Clarify with them, oh, heaven is not as much a concept that, you know, we'll get it. But let's assume we'll get there and God asks you, let's assume we get there and there's a gate. What I was saying is, heaven is not as much a concept of a gate and there are people here. But let's assume that's the case, right? Because your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus, for Christ's sake, you now have scriptures to border that. So you would have written your notes to talk about what forgiveness of sins is. You must have written scriptures, the 1 John 1, 1 John 2, you have written Ephesians 5, you have written, so you have all those Ezekiel 7, so you have everything written down in your note already. Mind you, the more you do it, the more you get good at it. The more you do it, the more you get good at it. You see, I can have a follow-up meeting now, right? And for the next 1 year, right? And not have a note. That's the truth. Yeah, I can, right? And the only reason is just because I've done it consistently over the months, over the years. You get that, right? And this is not where I started from 8 years ago. This is not where I started from 10 years ago, right? Yeah, I'm not in the same place, right? And that's just because I've practiced it more. I've practiced it more. I've practiced it more. They must also remember that when it comes to the concept of follow-up, it's a process. You don't do everything in one meeting. It's a process. Is a process. You need to continue learning the scriptures. We need to start from the beginning and start. So think about how you are building a house on the head of someone. Yeah, that's how you must think about it. Think about it. You see, the things I'm saying today, I didn't plan to say them, right? So think about building a mansion on the head of someone. It means you start from digging out, right? It means you will dig out some sand, you will lay the foundation, you will put some hardcore. You put some, cement. Then, before you know it, you start arranging the bricks. Then you get to the roof. That's the process you must understand that it requires, right? From regarding following up altogether. They can also now transition into sharing the gospel questions like, would you like to know? If God is, would you like to know God in a real way or in a personal way? Would you like to pay attention to your relationship with God? Those are questions you can ask as well. Probably God help you to say yes. Yeah, can I share with you something that has changed my life? That you can just, share something scriptural that usually ministers to you or minister to you, or something that just turned your perspective, or what your pastor, what you had learned somewhere that your pastor had, or your what you had learned from your pastor, something that struck your heart and stuck with you and that you hold on to. But you must always emphasize and ensure that your emphasis is on Christ Jesus and what he has done. What do you believe about God? That's a question to ask. What do you believe about God? Who do you think God is? God is good. God is kind. As basic as those things, they help staying. God is not upset with you. God is not angry with you. I'll look through the Bible and tell you what the Bible says about God's love for you. Certainty about God's love from scriptures. Altogether, do you ever think about God or spiritual things? That's another question you can ask. Listen to what they have to say. Tailor it to teach. Altogether, the things that you want to have them learn. What do you think it means to be a Christian? Who is a Christian? Where did the concept of Christianity start from? Who is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Right? You know, starting a Christian is one who is born again, one who is a child of God, a son of God, one who is righteous, one who has an indwelling of the Spirit. You see, you can use this question. So I'm going to go through the questions again. No, go back and listen to the time is gone. Okay, right? What do you think about being a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Right, and you can share some things as well you've learned about God. Like I said, ensure that you show an attitude of acceptance. Ensure that you are calm. You're not, you don't get all uptight and start looking all defensive and trying to punch somebody. No. Be a good listener. Listen more. Listen more. Yeah. Listen more. Listen more. Listen more. And also be very accept. Don't be the one doing most of the talking. Ensure that whilst there'll be a time when you will talk and talk and learn because you're teaching based on the answers you've gotten, but you have to be very, 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 very good listeners, right? That the listener. That's a very, very important way to go. So one of the things you must understand as well about this thing is that it's a process. You must ensure that you plan your meeting, ensure that you prepare your mind, ensure that you have your teaching notes ready, ensure that you have your Bible with you, ensure that you listen a lot. I've said a lot, also as you're going there, pray. And also when you end your meetings, try to end your meeting and start your meeting with a word of prayer. What that does is that you are introducing a concept to their minds, especially those who are not used to it. Yeah. If for every time you want to start your meeting, you say, let us pray, you're introducing a concept. So it means the time you teach about prayer, it will now make sense to, oh, that is why we used to pray before we go into God's word, or before we teach, or before we start interacting. Then also you can be very creative, but you must ensure that you allow your creativity to stop and please that you will not talk it, change it up on your head. Right. Also, on your notepad, you can as well have various options of places you can meet. So you can have various, the way you have a list of what people you are following up with, you must have various options of places you can meet and various, I must have your notes written down, you must have the places you can meet, you must have a list of people you are following up with, when you met them, kind of questions you want to ask. You can ponder or pay attention to some of the questions, just before your meeting starts. Oh, well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. And I really do hope that you have been instructed by that teaching, right? Definitely, we're going to pick it up again, pick up a new series called Consecration from Wednesday. Okay. Yeah. So, did I say Wednesday, Sunday? I'm offline now, right now. Well, Dear Saints, one of the things that